Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye. But this week, we are starting our new series called Strings. And so for those here in person, sorry for those that are not, you can see these creations behind me. And if you haven't able to actually see them from far away, you can come on up here afterwards and check them out. And what they are is they are frames with strings in them. So it's all about these strings, and that's because that's the name of our new series. And so what's happening here is that we have a lot of these different strings in this life that are tethering us to the earth. These things that keep us from being free. And what they're doing is they're keeping us from giving our all to God. And you may be asking, well, I don't believe that there's anything holding me back. Or you may be saying, well, something is holding me back, but I don't know what it is. And I'm glad that you're curious, because that's exactly what we're doing for the next 3 weeks. Okay, so anything that this earth has to offer that we put before God, then what we're doing is we're tying ourselves down to this world. It is holding us down. It's keeping us from being able to be completely free the way God has intended it for us to be. So over this series, we're going to look at some things that are tying us to the earth. But the scariest part is that we see some of these things that are tying us to the earth and we go, but wait, that's good. I like that thing. This is a positive in my life. And then you have the other side, which could even be worse, which is you may not even realize that these things are actually tethering you to the earth instead of God. And so you may be saying, wait, I didn't even know I have this problem and that this is bad for me. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about different ways that we are tying ourselves down with these strings. And so the first one that we're going to talk about today is going to be physical desires. And so you're like, what physical desires? And yeah, we're going to be talking about like food and drugs and alcohol and sex, but it's really anything that we seek for our bodies to feel good. That's what today is going to be. Next week, we'll be looking at things that we're looking to gain here. So the want for money, trying to gain comforts and material wealth here, and maybe even family and friends. And then the last week, we're going to be talking all about our desires to be remembered. The want to become something amazing here, to leave a legacy, trying to leave our mark on this world. We want to be recognized, and we have a quest for power. So the first thing that we have to do, though, is go over some verses that talk all about what is tying us here to this world. So we're going to turn to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows, and then we have a stack in the back. Kim is offering her Bible to anyone who wants it, I guess. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Let's read 1 John 2, 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So what we have is, John starts this section off pretty plain and clear. All right, I just imagine him standing up and going, "Hey, don't love the world or anything in it." And imagine if you just stopped there. Because I imagine he's just going, "You heard me. This is very simple. We know exactly what this looks like." It's almost like he's just kind of pointing fingers. And he's like, "I'm watching you, all right? You know what I'm talking about. Just stop it." And if we're being honest, we could do one of two things. First, we may say, "Well, that's not me." And so we look to our neighbor and we're like, "Yeah, I'm watching you. It's you. You're the one we're talking about here. You're the one that needs to straighten up." Or we'll say, "You know what? I got it. You're right. You are talking to me. I am not to love the world or anything in the world. And then we add a little extra, but what does that even mean? Like, what are these things that are from the world? And surely, you know, it's not this one thing in my life, because I kind of need that thing, and it's the only thing that is bringing me happiness. And so we're saying, I need you to define what the world is. But John says right here, flat out, everything that is from the world comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that is what we're going to be breaking down every week, what each one of this is referring to. But what's awesome is about looking at this piece, John flat out says, I want you to know when it's from the world, it's not from the Father. He's saying it's not from God. Stop pretending that these are godly things, because they're not. And then he says in verse 17, and with saying that, all those things that the world offers, you have to know it never lasts. It's going to pass away. It will fade. But you have to understand that God is forever. He will never quit. He will never fail. So flat out, choose God. That makes sense. You will not be disappointed when you choose God. And I would love to be done here. I would love to walk up here and say to the whole church and go, hey, church, all right, do not live for the world or your own desires. Choose God. And everybody goes, yes. And then we walk out. That would be fantastic, all right? But that's not going to happen. And the reason I know it's not going to happen is because I need some explanation. When I started going through this and working through these things, I'm like, but what does that really mean? What does that look like? And so that's what we're going to look at here, is we're going to start with the lust of the flesh. And let's be honest, nobody talks that way anymore. I don't remember the last time I heard somebody say, oh, you're struggling with the lust of the flesh, aren't you? That's not something that comes out most of the time. We don't say that exact thing, and that's because it sounds weird. So what I'm going to say to you is lust of the flesh is anything to make our physical bodies feel good that's not from God. And there's some misconception about this, because we look at certain things that can make us feel good, and we go, but I have to do these things. And these are things that I actually look forward to. And so I say, all right, think about it this way. When you're hungry, nothing satisfies your hunger like your favorite food. So if you had not eaten in the last 24 hours and it was time for your favorite food, you're going to have a certain reaction. For me, this would be a stromboli, all right? So if I had not eaten in 24 hours and then you handed me a stromboli, it is going to be the best stromboli I have ever had. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a sin for me to enjoy that stromboli. That's not the problem. This is not a sin of the flesh. But when you have the pizza, you have the stromboli, you eat a whole cake and you down it with 2 liters of Mountain Dew, okay, you're no longer doing it because you're hungry. You're doing it, why? Because it feels good. When you overconsume and indulge, it's called gluttony. That is a lust of the flesh. And so what you're doing is you're taking something that's good and you're abusing it. You're trying to get something from it that you're not supposed to get from it, and that's all the good feelings. Many people who overeat, they do it because why? It feels good. It makes them feel satisfaction. It actually brings good feelings into your brain that goes, oh, I need this. It's the same thing for prescribed drugs. If you have had pain meds and you needed them because they were prescribed to you to help curb the pain, it's not a bad thing. If you've gone through a surgery, I bet you are thanking God that something exists to help curb that pain. Because I've been there for both sides of the coin where I'm like, eh, it's not that bad, I'll be okay. And then about 10 hours goes by and I'm just crawling on the floor and I'm like, oh, what did I do? Where's the pain meds? I need those, all right, I should take them. But the problem is when we start to abuse that drug, when you're using it for the high, when you're trying to numb the pain of life, when you're doing it for all the good feelings in your body, that's when it becomes a lust of the flesh. And so we have to break down what the flesh does. What does this look like? And that's going to be from Romans 8. We're going to turn over to Romans 8. It'll be verses 1 through 13. Now, I know this is a huge chunk of verses here, so let's read through the whole thing and talk about what's being said. Oh, breathe. Sorry. I'm excited, all right? One breath. That's it. You get one. Just kidding. All right. It says, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And so I say, okay, that explains itself. You guys are good to go. Good luck. See you next week. No, just kidding. there's a lot to unpack there. But I love the first part. That first line is to give you hope. It's to help you out understand before we dive into, hey, you have sins of the flesh you're struggling with. It starts off with those who know Christ, those who have accepted Jesus, those who have given their lives to Him. You have no condemnation. What that says is your sins are forgiven. Know this. You are holy. You are loved. You are saved. And it's not because of what you've done. It's because it's Him who gives life. Jesus. He has set you free. And what are we free from? We are free from our sins. We are free from the desires of the flesh. And it's explained in these verses very well. It says God set up already the law, which is the Old Testament. So when you go into the Old Testament, there are 613 commands to follow, and this is to stay holy and be close to God. But what happened is we were not able to keep the commands. And it says why we couldn't keep the commands. What happened? Well, why not? It's because it was weakened by the flesh. Those earthly desires, those things that we seek to fulfill us, those things that we want to make us feel good, you have to understand they are not God. They do not get to rule your life. And sadly, this means what we're doing is trying to find our own satisfaction. We're trying to find our own comfort, our own peace, our own joy, our own goodness from something other than God. We have chosen to chase after these things instead of the Almighty Creator. And this whole thing here is a warning. Verse 5, it says, you cannot live for the flesh. You cannot live for what makes you feel good, because those who live this way, those people who have their minds living this way, it flat out says you're not living according to God. You are not following Him. What are you doing? You're following your own feelings and wants. And this is so tough, because if you're anything like me, a little bit of something is good. Well, then a lot must be great. But it's a trap. And it's a trap for everyone. A little sugar is awesome. So a lot must make it better, right? But no, we all know the side effects of consuming too much sugar. It is not a positive thing. It's so interesting that we just think, oh, a little bit here will be awesome and amazing, so I need more of it because it makes me feel good. And we have to understand, God made it this way too. We are supposed to enjoy these sugars. He could have made it very bland. You could have been like, nah, I don't want it. I don't crave it. I don't need it. It's like a carrot, okay? I do not crave carrots. If you do, fantastic. You're awesome. But I'm going to tell you right now, it tastes good for a reason, but it has to be done in moderation. A little bit of pain medicine dulls the pain so I can function. So a lot will take away all the pain, right? That's not true. A little bit of money, it bought me comfort. So a lot is going to make my dreams come true, right? Do you see the lie? Do you see how easy it is to fall for this lie? And here in Romans, it's a warning. It says living like this is not living at all. This is not life. You're not free. You will never be satisfied. It actually says it's going to do the opposite. When you live for these things here on earth, you're actually ignoring the only thing that will truly make you feel good, the only thing that will fulfill, the only thing that satisfies. And what we're doing is we're ignoring God when we follow our own wants. And then we get this line in verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now I know personally, I've seen what happens when my mind can think of nothing but my own wants. It always leads me to nothing but destruction. It leads me to feeling unfulfilled. It leaves me feeling lost and empty. But when I'm following God, when I listen to the Holy Spirit, who is God living in me, that's where I will find life and peace. And this life that was given to me, I have one life to live. It's to be lived for God as the center of my life while I'm here on earth. And then when I leave here, I get this eternal life where I will live with Him forever. And good news, those who know Jesus, anyone who knows Him, this is for you as well, because your life has been paid for. It's already been freed by Jesus Christ. You just need to accept it. Verse 9, you do not live in the flesh anymore. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God inside of you. You do not have to live for these wants. You can live for something so much more. And that's where we get to verse 12, and I love the wording. It says, you have an obligation. So when you know that God is real, when you know that God lives, when you know that He loves you, when you know that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the price for your sins, you know that He's defeated death. You know that He's defeated sin. He's given you freedom to live for God. Your obligation is to strive to live a life for Him who set you free. It's not because you feel guilty. It's all because you love Him so much. Look at everything He did for me. How can I not? He loved me first. He loved me while I was a sinner and horrible and awful to Him. And He said, it's okay, I still want you with me. Accept this free gift. That's what it is to have that obligation inside of you. You can't help it. It just screams from inside us. But that brings up a very good question. What do I do? How do I actually do these things? What does it look like to live this out? And so we're going to turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 13 through 24. Galatians 5, 13 through 24. Many people know these verses, and that's because they are strong and wonderful. It says, verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So this has a lot of the same points that we read in Romans. And it starts off with, you are free. So use your freedom to live for more than whatever your flesh wants. Live for more than your cravings. Live for God and love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 19 feels like okay, guys, the reason he wrote this, he's kind of like, if you need me to break this down even further, I'll go ahead and do that. It's like the people were saying, well, okay, so you keep saying desires of the flesh, you keep saying lust of the flesh. So, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Give us a list here. And so in Galatians, he even says it's very obvious. Like, come on, guys. It's very obvious which ones we're talking about here. And he gives this list. And it's not everything that is a desire of the flesh, but it's definitely very apparent. When you look at these things, you don't go, really? Drunkenness? You sure? That one seems pretty good to me. Like, no, we know. When you look at this list here, we're not going, yeah, I'm going to teach my children these things. Okay, no. And it's because we know that they are wrong. We know that they are against God. And he pretty much says it's obvious right here. And the thing is, when you look at this list, most, if not all of this list, are things to make you feel good or feel powerful and in control. And we have to know that God is in control, that God is our comfort. And that's when we get this beautiful picture, this list of what it looks like when we live for God, to live in step with the Holy Spirit who's God inside of us. And that one I'm going to repeat, because the other one I'm like, yeah, we all know, it's obvious. But this one we need to hear over and over again. When you follow God, you get love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is forgiving one another, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then this last one, self-control. And when we see that list, we go, yeah, okay. Those things are amazing. I want all of those things. None of those things are tying me down. All of those things are freeing. All of those things are good. And that's because all of those things, they're from God. All those things that we are lusting after in the flesh, they are the strings. That's what's holding you down. That's what's holding you to this earth. And we're doing it to ourselves. And God is saying, stop. Stop tying yourself down. You're free. Cut those strings. This is what He's always intended for you. And the only way that we can do that is to live for Him according to His wants, to the things that He wants in your life personally. You have to understand all of those desires that you're having here, they're not good for you and they won't help you. Do not give in to them, but follow Him. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. And that is, what desires of the flesh are you allowing to hold you down? You're going to have to take some time and think about it yourself. You don't need to come and tell me about it. If you want to, we can talk about it. That's fine. But this is something you got to do with some self-reflection. This is something you need to look at. Hey, this is my struggle. And I want to be cut free from it. To be free to walk in step with God. Figure out what they are. And if you're saying, you know what, I can't cut it myself. I'm going to go, I figured it's probably something you're going to struggle with. Then ask God to give you the strength. Ask God to help you, to push you, to notice these things that are keeping you from Him. Because you have to know, He's the only thing that's going to free you, and He's the only thing that will ever satisfy. Run to Him. Do not run away from Him. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word, for Your truth. It's not always easy to hear. It's not always easy to read these things and say, yes, God, I'm all in. I'm ready to go. And it's because we struggle. The only way that we'll truly be free is if we follow You. You are the one that is saying, I have freed you from sin. I have freed you from death. Now come live with Me. And I pray that we have the strength to give up those things that make our bodies feel good in that moment, but then we realize that they're only hurting us. I pray that when we leave here, that we can let everybody know there is freedom in Jesus Christ. We love You. And we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.